Hello, and welcome to the Podcast of Steel. Here, I share news, reviews, my adventures, interviews, and more. You can always expect some Superman content from this show, but I'm a lover of all things geeky, so you never know what you're going to get. Now, let's leap into action with a brand new episode of the Podcast of Steel.
Hello again, Luke Bug, the Geek of Steel, and this is episode 8. Well, last weekend, as many of you know, I was at Portsmouth Comic Con, and I already miss it, and I'm already excited for 2024. But at the con this year, I was also joined by Aaron from Aaron J Watches, a local blogger slash podcaster, movie reviewer, and all-round great guy. And Aaron is this week's special guest, and we had a fantastic chat. Aaron is very, very into his movies. He loves history, he loves books, and he loves escapism with said movies. We had an interesting discussion about the movies that we don't really like, but also the importance of escapism with a good movie, and about solo movie adventures, going to the cinema alone and getting lost for a few hours in somebody else's story. Aaron is a great guy, very passionate, very into his history, and that makes him, for me, a very unique reviewer when it comes to films that are factually based, because Aaron likes to do his homework. And we talk about films that are coming up, like Oppenheimer. Now, Oppenheimer, for me, is going to be a scary yet thrilling adventure. And we had a great discussion about that. And also Barbie, that's coming out. That could be the most surreal double bill that I will ever have. But this year, I'm thinking about watching Oppenheimer and then going straight in and watching Barbie. But Aaron was a brilliant guest. And I'm pretty sure this won't be the last time I speak with him about movies. I was a guest on his podcast and we had a great time chatting about the films we love and those that we don't love as much. But getting to know a little bit more about Aaron and his love for history and movies and escapism was a real treat. And I think you will enjoy this episode as well. So get ready, because here comes my chat with Aaron from Aaron J Watches.
Aaron, welcome to the Podcast of Steel, sir.
Thank you for having me, Luke.
No, it's it's one of my new catchphrases that seems to be coming out of my mouth without me doing anything. Is it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, that should be like one definitely. Of my
sort of catchphrases for the show. But it's one of those things where we have been talking about the podcast for so long, but we get things happen and things get in the way. But you are here now. We are finally here to talk about books, films, everything in between, your passions, my passions combined. Going to be a fun little chat, Aaron. That's all. My favourite thing to do, buddy.
I'm looking forward to it, Luke.
Good. So if you can, let's share your origin story with the listeners and watchers. What is Aaron Watches all about?
Yeah. So basically, I've been a big lover of film, a big nerd all my life, really. And then during lockdown, obviously, like most people, it was trying to find something to do during those hours, locked inside the house, wondering what to do and all this kind of stuff. So I kind of started the Instagram page and the website and the podcast and the TikToks and the Twitter all at one go, which, if I'm being honest with you guys, if you ever think about starting, try to start with one thing at a time, not everything all at once. But yeah, I've always wanted to kind of share my passion with everyone else. I've been a big lover of film for a long time. I love everything kind of comic book related. I love, you know, basically anything from pop culture is going to take my fancy. And the initial kind of start of Aaron J Watches was the fact that it was, you know, I was posting reviews on films that I was watching during lockdown. Also working in, I have a big love of like history, so I was kind of working in a bit of history to it as well. And also just kind of documenting all the Pop Funko figures that I owned at the same time. So that's kind of the origin story in a nutshell.
It's a good nutshell, Aaron. It does everything that I like. It's pop culture, it's entertainment, it's reviews, it's people talking about their passions. And that is what we will talk about today
I've got a few little things to the side of me that are hidden away that I've not shown you just yet for us to talk about. Things that you've educated me about and things that we've talked about and events that we've been to, including the Batman concert that we will get to shortly. But yeah, this is one of those times where we can sit down and have a chat about those things that we love. And it's just always a fun chat to, if it's being recorded or not being recorded, it's just one of those ways to take 5, 10 minutes, sometimes 45 minutes to an hour to talk about things that we love. And yeah, films especially. I know, because I know that you are a big lover of movies and
Definitely.
something that you've been passionate about for a long time. And something that I've always loved is getting lost in somebody else's story. So what for you know, what makes it special, that escapism with a movie? What's that about for you?
Yeah, what well, you kind of hit it on the head there. It's that escapism, is that kind of like 2 to 3 hours of, shutting off from the rest of the world, completely immersing yourself into a whole story. I think I just enjoy the storytelling nature. Like, I've said to you before, Luke, in the sense that I'll watch anything. I'll watch anything from a little indie picture to an art housey Oscar nominated sort of situation to the big blockbusters. I really don't have a preference to what I sit down and watch. But yeah, I think it's pure escapism. And I've spoken about it a couple of times on my own kind of stuff, where it's definitely good for the mental health. I always find film is a good mental health release. I feel like one thing I started to do a couple of years back was go to the cinema on my own, for example, which it sounds like a scary prospect to many, but no one cares. No one cares. No one cares. No one's looking at you. No one cares.
I'm glad you brought that up because it's something I did have on my list of things to talk about. I mean, it's you don't really go to the cinema anyway to talk to somebody else. So don't be afraid if no one's, replying to your messages about saying, can we go and see this film today? Just go.
Yeah,
Get
I
yourself a good
totally
seat.
echo it. It's a case of, like, once you've done it once, it's the most natural thing after that. It's so it's just really good for me. I always find it like a really good release if I am struggling, or if I find myself struggling or anything along those lines. Going to the cinema for 2 to 3 hours to shut off from the rest of the world is pure escapism. You're sat there, you can't go on your phone, you get lost in the world, you surround, nothing's, when you really think about a cinema in a sense, you're sat there with strangers in a dark room watching the big screen. But it's just pure escapism, and it really does help in that way.
I can't remember the first film, like my first like solo adventure, as it were, to the cinema. But I think it was because somebody couldn't make it, and I was like, "Well, I still really want to see this film," and it's not long till it starts to play, so I'm going to get down there and enjoy it. And after that, I think thinks it's nice to enjoy a film with somebody else. Don't get me wrong, but sometimes if you've got like a morning or an afternoon free, and you think you want to see a film again or for the first time, just do it. Experience it. As you said, it's like therapy in a way.
Yeah, 100%.
It's like sitting on a park bench or going out into the country for a couple of hours to get some fresh air. But as you said, you can't. Well, some people do go on their phones, but that's a whole different argument. But you turn your phone off. You don't have emails. You don't have calls you have to make. You can just sit down and get told somebody else's story. Whether it's a new story or a film that you've seen 100 times before, it's still some fantastic escapism. So I am all for it. And people out there, if you're listening, do it. First
Yeah,
of all, you
can't
don't have
recommend
to,
it more.
yeah, you
Can't
don't have to
recommend
share your snacks for one. That's one more
it
bonus to it. And there's nobody, asking you questions about the film sometimes. We all have that
Yeah.
friend or partner that's like, oh, so who's that? What's happening there? And I mean, yeah, sometimes you do get tricky parts in the film where it does get a bit confusing. And if you don't figure it out along the way, you'd like to ask questions, but just wait till the film's finished. If you could, that would be great. That's a little bit of etiquette for the cinema. But let's talk about some of your favorite cinema experiences. What some have been your special ones, Aaron?
Yeah, I always talk about this when people ask this sort of question, but my earliest film memory from going to the cinema was seeing Hercules, the Disney Hercules film.
Yes.
And I always try and die on the hill that Hercules is the best Disney film that is made.
It's on there, and the
Personally,
soundtrack still slaps.
soundtrack is so good. And
Yeah.
yeah, that's one of my earliest memories. And you know, obviously we're both local to the same area, and it
We
was at the
are.
old it wasn't Odeon at the time. I think it's called like the UC something like that,
It was
one
the
in Porcelain.
UCI. It was the
That's it, the
UCI
UCI.
cinema.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
still remember going there. I must have been about 5 or 6 at the time, and I still have fond memories of sitting in that cinema and watching Hercules and taking that in. I'm really kind of, you know, making that become part of my personality as a very young young
It's not a bad and bad
Aaron.
film or a bad side to have. But yeah, that is yeah, it's a fantastic Disney movie. And again, wicked soundtrack. Hope I think they've been talking about again, as always with Disney films now, they want to remake it as live action. There's been rumors and cast thoughts over the years, but who would you like to play Hercules if they were to make it?
I mean, if he could sing, I think Cavill would make a great Hercules,
See,
obviously.
I
I don't
needed to
know
be a good
if we go
guest,
down the
Aaron.
singing, yeah.
I mean, I've not heard him sing. I know that he does like his mythology, so we would, you know, he would probably
Yeah.
make sure that it is very screen and story accurate. But
Definitely.
yeah, I don't think Henry's got a musical career out there, but maybe he
Yeah.
could, you know, he could start it. He could
I
start
feel
it.
like he would be good. And you know, the story that Disney story that they play through Hercules is very Superman-esque as
There you
well,
go.
the way they play it out. So I feel like he has precedent to kind of pull that character off.
Okay. Well, if it does happen, you've heard it here first.
Yeah,
Aaron, with the exclusive that Henry Cavill will be playing Hercules. Yeah. We could get Russell Crowe back as well. That'd be even better. No,
definitely Zeus,
that can work.
yeah.
Now, talking about Henry Cavill, we've had all the drama of everything else that's happened over the years with Superman, The Witcher, and goodness knows what else. But something that we know is happening and that we've talked about because it was very exciting to talk about it was the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. Now, I didn't know much about this until it was released that it was happening, but tell me about your experience with this story and the book.
Yeah, so I in my other side of life, I did a history degree and a master's in history, specifically looking at like World War II, and World War I. And what this kind of book popped up around that sort of time as well, and it's just a very interesting take on the war, if that respect, you know, they were basically a secret kind of organization that were working behind the covers. And you know, were your kind of first, quite almost like espionage in a sense, as how they kind of operated. But it's just like a ragtag team of individuals in that respect, and it was kind of thrown together during Churchill's prime ministerial reign. And it's always very interesting to see these like individual stories pop up around history, and when they come into film as well, it's always very interesting to see. I'm a big advocate of film and history playing hand in hand. There's definitely an argument as to like some historical films, are they relevant, you know, because they tell a different, you know, not always the most historically accurate side to the story. But I've always been a big kind of advocate of this, and I've, you know, arguments with lecturers and stuff like that when I was at uni because of this. But very much like, you know, when that film's announced, Luke, obviously you were straight on it, you know, your interest is straight
Oh,
in there,
straight away, yeah.
and that's what I mean. That's where I think it plays a part. So things like this, anything to do with like, you know, even films like go back as far as like Braveheart and stuff like that, it sparks an interest. It sparks that kind of desire to know more. Like you wanted to know more about this story. So then you go and you look out for the source material. You look out for the true story. You look out for any kind of articles or books written around the area. And I always think that that leads into a need for films to be made this way in that respect. I think a big example of that was obviously like Dunkirk as well.
Oh,
You know,
yeah.
with Nolan's film, you know, a lot of people got very interested in, you know, with you know, when we sent out basically trawler boats to help and stuff like that, to help bring people back from Dunkirk, and the RAF, for example, all this kind of stuff, all these like little kind of bits and bobs, it really sparks an interest into the overall story. So I always think that when films like this come along, and you know, Guy Ritchie is such an interesting filmmaker that I feel like,
Yes.
yeah, okay, it might not be the most historically accurate depiction what we're going to get on screen, but it's going to have elements of it, and then it's going to drive people to read the book. It's going to drive people to look into this scenario more, and you just bring more awareness to the situation.
And that's it. I mean, as you said, Guy Ritchie is an interesting filmmaker, to put it lightly. I was many, many moons ago when Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels came out. I was obsessed with that film, even to the extent that somewhere in my vast fortress of solitude, there's a poker set for the Lock, Stock movie.
Oh,
And in
really?
there
Wow.
was some playing cards, some poker chips, and a VHS of the film. Because
Nice.
I am that mature, Aaron. But it was a fantastic movie. From that, obviously we got Snatch, and we got so much more out of him. He made a few couple of stinkers along the way, but we all find our way. But I
Yes.
think over the last couple of years, he's got back into the rhythm of things. And now, yeah, with this film, and we've seen some behind the scenes footage of it so far, and some imagery. I mean, there's only been black and white photos so far, which is quite clever. Like the cosplay that's going to come out of it, I can't
Oh,
wait.
massively, yeah,
I'm
huge.
trying to. I'm going to have to grow out the mustache because I've seen Henry's. I mean, the man can do anything, including growing fantastic facial hair. I'm going to have to start sort of getting the curly mustache out when that comes out. But it's going to be a talked about film, and as you said, it's based upon stories. It's always a big, this film is based upon true events. Many films could have that at the beginning of them, but I think these days, because there is so much information out there that the viewer can research themselves,
Exactly.
films are trying harder to sort of think, well, we don't want to get this group of people saying it's incorrect, or this bunch of historians coming after us. So
Exactly, yeah.
films now hire so many more people, including historians and
Yeah.
archivists, to make sure that it's as close to the story as possible. So yeah, I am looking forward to reading this book over the summer. I've got a few books to crack on with from my reading challenge, which you've helped me with, which we will talk about in a moment. So thank you for that. But one book that I have enjoyed reading this year, that was my New Year's resolution, was to get back into reading books. It's something that I've not done for many years, apart from all the graphic novels that you can see behind me.
Yep, loads. Very similar,
Many,
Luke. Very similar.
m thank you. Many people can, well, have argued with me over the years that graphic novels or comics aren't technically r books to read, which I have many heated replies for that argument, but that's a chat for another time. But one book that you shared with me for my birthday, in fact, was I Am Legend.
Yes.
Now, when you handed this book to me as a wonderful gift, and you said, now this is very different to the
Yeah.
film. Now, I love the film, not only because of that fantastic Batman v Superman poster that we
Yes, yeah,
finally
of
got
course.
like 20 years later after the film came out, but I love the concept in that film of Will Smith being on his own for such a long amount of time. And that I like that trope in a movie where a character is on their own for such a long time, which is why I enjoy that solo moment, as it were. And we've got a lot of that in I Am Legend. But yeah, you were not wrong when you said, oh, this book is so different to the film.
Yeah, the book is so vast. I think because we're, like I said to you, the book's written a lot earlier than you think it was written, and obviously the time period it's set does kind of create a almost like a period piece now rather than a futuristic situation. But I would say the book is terrifying, whereas the film is scary, but the book is terrifying, and
Now
the fact that they play
it's
more into the vampire-y kind of side of it rather than the zombie is
yes, which was the twist that I enjoyed. Now, at the beginning, my original goal this year was just to read as much as I could to find my reading voice, and I have found that voice now. So I haven't got to read about 20 books a month because I was at one point I was reading that much that my eyesight was being affected. But my routine was after a long day at work, I would lie down before bed and read. Big mistake with this book, Aaron. Big mistake. My dreams were affected in a big way.
I
I'm
do
not,
apologize,
you're fine. I mean,
Luke.
it goes to show the quality of the story of the book. But I was happy to not read at night. Instead, I was waking up earlier. My alarm clock was going on earlier to read it in the morning before the day could affect me. But terrifying, as you said, but a gripping story. There is some comedy in there. I can see where they got many of the ideas for the film,
Definitely.
especially his house with all the traps and how it was boarded up and how it was his, his solitude as well, his fortress, literally. But scary, scary stuff.
Very
And
scary
so
stuff.
fantastic visual storytelling that almost makes me a bit upset that the film didn't use this more strictly.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like it pays a lot of homage to it, but it really does take it really picks and chooses what it kind of takes from the book. And I feel like, especially like, you know, when I gave it to you, like you might not have been aware prior. And obviously, when people think of I Am Legend, they think of the Will Smith film rather than the book, for example. And the book, obviously, where the book is so vastly different, it feels like so the book needs to be appreciated a bit more.
Well, the legend that is Stephen King. You know, he said books like I Am Legend were an inspiration to me. And I was thinking, okay, so how old is this book? Yeah. But I did go back. First, here we go. La, la, la. I've lost my notes, but there we go. Pretty much going back to 1954.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's the 50s, yeah.
But I think some of it was almost set in the future in the 70s, I believe.
Yes, I believe so, yeah.
I've started reading it again, so I'm looking forward to learning more. Don't often do that with books either, but I know there's some parts of this book where I've had to get to a chapter and put it away because I'm thinking, I know where it's going now. I can't be doing with that right now. Thank you very much. But strong story. Not that long of a book, so it did get devoured.
Yeah.
But I enjoy it. So yeah, that was a part of my birthday gift to me. I appreciate that. That was leading on to my next topic is when we went off to a little adventure to London for the Batman movie in concert.
Yeah, and I have a bone to pick with you, Luke. Right, I've been to the cinema so much now since, and I can't watch a film without a live orchestra now. That's it, I'm done.
Kind of ruins it, doesn't it? It doesn't ruin it, but you're thinking this will be so much more immersive with a full piece orchestra and conductor and an intermission.
Yeah, it was so good, and I can't recommend to anyone else, like, if you get a chance to see a film with an orchestra live, just go do it. It will just appreciate it differently, even if you've seen the film 100 times before. You know, with the Batman, it's still fairly new, but you know, I've seen it loads and all this kind of stuff. But even I was noticing new things because of the fact that, you know, and you also don't really know where to focus. Like, do you focus on the screen? Do you focus on the orchestra? Do you focus on the screen? Do you focus on the orchestra? And it was just an amazing experience and really, really well done as well.
It was beautifully done. I've seen a few concerts where they play lots of scores from over the years, but I've been lucky enough now to see the Joker, the Batman and Superman with a live orchestra. And as you said, it's pretty much like seeing the film for the first time. You notice things more, and you might try and listen to the voices more or the music more. As you said, you're not too sure where to put your attention, but it does blow you away. And to see that, it was the Apollo in London, I think, but the theatre was full up. And
it was it was really packed, which was really nice to see as well. Just for an immersive experience, you kind of want it to be as many people as possible.
And it was a great night. And I mean, we were one of the first to see it because that toured the world after that. It's been around Europe. It's been in America. And I think it was a tester to see if they could do more of these films like this in the future. I know a few films have been played with them, with a live orchestra, and it does make it such a special occasion. And I mean, I would love to see, for example, Lord of the Rings the same way.
Echo that massively. Can you imagine seeing, you know, Return of the King as the Rohan are coming over to help in the battle? That would be incredible.
With all the strings pulling up at the same time. And I mean, I'm sure it has been done. I know there are Lord of the Rings concerts out there where they play medleys and they play certain pieces, but I know members of the orchestra work very hard, so I think maybe for a 3-hour picture, it could be a bit daunting. But again, there's always intermissions, so it'd be fine. But yeah, if they could do more films like that, I can't recommend it enough either. And to see something like, say, Batman v Superman or Man of Steel or anything with such a strong orchestral score. It is absolutely mind-blowing. And it really, again, that's a bit of a difference going to the cinema alone sort of thing. This is like the complete opposite. This is like, take everybody, get lost in the experience, but also enjoy that escapism on a whole other level, which is what we all need. I feel.
I think that's right. The escapism is so true, especially like something like the Batman, where the music swells so much towards an impact. It's just incredible. Like that car chase scene. Oh. You know, you needed a break after it. Like it needed to.
It was intense. It was even I think from the opening scene where you see him come out of the shadows in the subway.
Yes, definitely.
And you hear those boots just chunking on the floor. Combine that with I think it was some very menacing cello going off in the background. But that's what it was like for the Joker.
Yeah, I can imagine that bathroom scene must have been absolutely incredible with a live orchestra.
It was hard to watch that film. It's a difficult watch, I feel, for many, but it's still wonderfully done. But the orchestra wasn't as many for the Joker, but how they put them all on stage was they almost recreated the comedy club. So there were small tables with sort of vintage 70s lamps on each of the tables, but you didn't really notice it throughout the film, but the lamps were changing color to sort of affect the mood of the scene and the lighting in the movie at the same time. And once I noticed that, I was like, okay, now this is all too much. I'm getting quite over emotional with everything that's going on, but it was just a little nudge that made that moment more magical. And that was a fun night. And
no, definitely
it was a more of those events need to happen, and hopefully they will in the future. But talking about movie events that are coming out this year, there are two films coming out over the summer that I don't think will be battling against each other so much, because they're both going to be making a hell of a lot of money. And I'm considering going from one screen directly into the other. So as soon, you probably will guess what we're going to talk about now, as soon as Barbie has finished, I'm going to be leaving that room and going into Oppenheimer.
See, I feel like I'd do it the other way around. I feel like Oppenheimer is going to be the one that is going to cause me, you know... severe kind of like watching it, I'm going to be so intense. Whereas Barbie, I feel like it's going to be more of the relaxed one. So I feel like I might do Oppenheimer first.
Could work. Yeah, it'd be a more enjoyable way of doing it and not as stressful. So Oppenheimer for me, I'm really excited for. Scared about as well. As I said, I don't really dream that much. But the dreams that I do remember are always quite often about nuclear fallout.
No way.
Which is something I should probably get looked into, just in case. But I thought when this film was coming out, and it's Nolan, and it's going to be a huge, huge, big movie. It's got Cillian Murphy, which is one of my favourites. He's going to be amazing in it.
Yeah,
I was like, right, I need to learn more about this story and the characters to not be as scared, I felt. Because I thought, going into this film without knowing too much about it, I'm going to be just on edge for the whole thing. Because it's a big story.
It is a big story. And I think, you know, you kind of drawn back to it there. Like, you know, the fact that you saw the trailer, you saw the thing, and you've gone, oh, I want to find out more. So you've kind of done, you know, the pre-work for it. And yeah, Oppenheimer is something I'm so excited for, because it's such like an interesting part of history that doesn't really... I feel like it's kind of like day in the sun in the terms of like when we speak about important things that happened during the war. That was so instrumental into like, you know, ending, but also then probably prolonging, you know, what we have now.
Where we are now in the current state of things. And I've spoken with some American book lovers and film lovers and history lovers about the book and this story. And it's taught a lot in American schools. Now, I don't know how it was when you were in school, Aaron, but never mentioned this in the curriculum, as it were.
No, not at all. No, never anything. It was definitely more off your own back if you wanted to find out stuff about this.
And that's what I mean. That's what I have gathered through the love of reading this year. There's a few books hanging about in the background you can see there. Jumped on the old Amazon to find the book. And it arrived, and I was like, what's this parcel that's arrived? It can't be the book. But it was the book. It is here.
Huge.
Now, with very small writing on every single page.
Wow, right.
So, but it reads like pretty much a thriller.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
So I'm one third of the way through.
Nice. Well done. Good.
It's a good start. Hopefully going to be finished by the film comes out. I think I will. The rate that I'm going, I'm trying to balance it out by reading something joyful afterwards, because It's he didn't well, he had to have quite a dark life, but that's what I'm looking forward to, is that origin story, as it were, as we
Yeah, it'll
always
be quite
get in these
interesting to
films.
see how much they lean into it because obviously he is a very complex character in that respect.
So complex.
Yeah.
His early days, as it were, as a young man, I was trying to sort of put myself in his shoes of what I was doing when I was 18 to 25, and what he was doing. He was like traveling the world and giving lectures and working all these beautiful universities around the world, and then picking up a new language and then like mastering it in a few weeks. Like, this is incredible. And yeah, it's got interesting facts. Almost one very dark part was the fact that poisons a teacher with an apple. But he couldn't remember doing it, or if it did actually happen. He had quite a few very dark moments in his life, and I can sense that it's going to get darker throughout the book. Obviously, I know where it ends up, so I know it's going to be coming from a very dark place. But again, it's history, and the history that's gone into this book, and the research. I think a huge part of the back of this book is just where he got all his details from.
References,
Yeah, and it is all that. So it's a fantastic book. If you haven't read it, I kind of do recommend it, but
Okay.
if but take your time with it. Don't ruin your eyesight like I'm currently doing with the way that I'm reading books. But the film after, I think when the first poster was just released, and then we saw trailers and we saw all that. Why do you think Nolan was the perfect person to take on this mammoth job?
Yeah, I think it's probably what he's been building to for a long time. That we've always known that Nolan wants to do a James Bond, for example. He's always expressed interest in that. But it's very much like all of his films obviously have this, or normally like a theme of like time or something like this. Or, there's always like a ticking kind of like motion to it. And something like Oppenheimer's story, especially, running up to the building of the bomb itself, they were against time. This was a crucial part of the time of the war. We're getting towards the end of the time when America joined and stuff. But it's very much a case of they were against time. They needed to get this done because there was an imminent threat of someone else coming on. And I think Nolan is a perfect person to keep tensions going and make a story this interesting, even more interesting in that respect. And the cast that he's kind of formed for it definitely explains it as well. I feel like Murphy will get an Oscar nomination for this finally. He feels like he deserves it. If you look at his filmography, the man is a different man in every film he's ever been in. He's so good, and he completely disappears into a character. And I think the overall story will be super, super interesting in that respect. Just to kind of remind everyone that the reason it happened was to end a horrible situation that was happening in Europe, but what came from it was possibly not what was really intended. So it's very much that in that respect, and I think that works well with. And I feel like Nolan is the best person to juggle that kind of history to it. Like he's going to make it seem like the race to build it, the race to kind of get it done, will be exhilarating and interesting. But I feel like Nolan will not shy away from the regretful nature of it all towards the end of the story as well at the same time. And I think that's what he does really well. And you can kind of see it a little bit with Dunkirk and all this kind of stuff. Like there's always like a slight realism to it. Like everyone in that film is very, the actors, the guys that get trapped on a boat, for example, they're quite scared. They turn on the French guy initially. It's all this kind of stuff, all these little kind of bits and bobs that will pop up in the film. I think Nolan is the best person to tell Oppenheimer's story in that respect.
I'm guessing it's. I'm not too sure of the runtime of the film. I know it's not
It's
going to be
gotta be. It's
90.
gotta be a long one, isn't
It won't be
it?
90 minutes. It's not going to be a
Let's
short and sweet one.
No.
It's going to be structured. It's going to be enjoyable. But I think now, as you said, when you start to read more into a story, so when I'm looking into the history of the book, I'm going to possibly notice more things happening that might have been just a throwaway. It's essentially when people watch comic book films, and there's a slight Easter egg that people might recognize and people won't, but it still won't take you away from the story that you're being told, possibly for the first time. And the way, again, that Nolan does do that with storytelling, it's going to be, kind of want to see this on an IMAX screen, but
I think
don't.
you're going to need to. I mean, Nolan is, I always say Nolan, amongst those people like, Tarantino and stuff like that, they make scenes where people just talking is interesting. Nothing else is going on. They could be just sat around a table and there's five individuals talking, and that's interesting. And there's only a few filmmakers that can really do that. Nolan is definitely one of them. And I feel like we're going to get a lot of that in this as well. There's going to be a lot of different kind of back and forths. And then obviously looking at the trailers, you've got obviously a lot of it's in color and then some of it's in black and white. So, what's the black and white? Is that going to intersect? Nolan's films are not always linear in that respect. There's always a case of coming back and forth to it. So will we see something like that? Is that the best way to tell that story?
I'm hoping so because a lot of the parts that I've got to first of all. So yes, it is. It's his younger days. It's his. He's traveling around the world and he's falling in love with different landscapes, especially New Mexico and all the places where he did tested the first bomb. So I'm looking forward to seeing those and seeing how that gets portrayed on the big screen because that is going to just absolutely blow my mind when I do finally see the things that I've seen in my head when reading the book. That's how I often when I know a story's interesting is when I start seeing those visuals more clearly.
Yeah, and I
And
think
we've
that plays into it. And you need that with Nolan. Nolan's so good with the visuals and stuff. I recently watched Interstellar again, and I feel like Interstellar is my favorite Nolan film. I've always like juggled around with Interstellar. Memento was always up there for a bit as well, and Inception, and probably I always prefer Batman Begins over The Dark Knight. I'm kind of one of those people.
That's fine.
But Interstellar, I just think it's perfect. Even once again, you're watching some like spacescape scenes for 2 to 3 minutes and nothing's really happening. But because of the way he works with a composer in that sense with Hans Zimmer, it just keeps you engaged. It keeps you kind of motivated. And I feel like that's going to work really well in this film.
Again, another film that is on my bucket list to see with a live orchestra,
Oh
because
yeah,
that
can that'd be
would just
amazing.
melt my face off completely. But yeah, that's as you said, when you sort of it's those quiet moments in the film that still keep you gripped. You get those moments where it's, as you said, perfectly five people just sitting around a table talking about anything. And if you're gripped to that, it's because of the storytelling and the
Exactly.
direction and everything else that's going on. But add scary music to that or music that
Yeah.
grips you, this film is gonna, yeah, my palms are gonna be gripped to the chair during this film. And it's definitely if one of those films for me, I feel that I'm gonna have to watch it a few times.
Yeah,
Same
definitely.
for the exact same reason, the same reason why I'm gonna have to watch Barbie a few
Yeah.
times. Just
Yeah.
just the complete polar opposite. But it's a film that's been talked about for years. It looks beautiful. Another trailer was released recently, which just
Yes.
makes it look very fun. It's a good year for cinema this year, I
I
feel.
feel like it is a good year for cinema. Yeah, I feel like last year I always say there was a lot of good like Oscar baited films last year. There was a good bunch. This year there definitely seems to be more like event cinema almost.
Yeah.
Like that's what seems to be coming back, and that's what I've been really enjoying as of late. Even with something like Fast X, it might not be for everyone,
But
but
not
it
yet.
is event cinema. Like I'm not going there to watch Vin give me, Shakespearean acting. I'm there to watch
I
him
mean,
crash a car.
there's a thought. Vin Diesel as Hamlet, I'm there for that. Yeah, I can see him there. I can see him there. But it's, yeah, I can remember certain summers throughout my life where cinema just took over. I would, they used to be not there anymore. Sadly, a local cinema down to me, and I could
Yep, I know
just
the one. Yep.
go down there and enjoy a couple of films and films that had been out for years before or new movies. But there were years when like films were coming out like the original Mission Impossible movies were happening in the summer. Those summer blockbusters, that classic trailer voice would be saying, "This summer," sort of thing. That's the moments you want. And we are getting that this year with films like The Flash, which will come out soon. You've got Mission Impossible, you've got Oppenheimer, you've got Barbie, you've got all these films that are just going to be bringing people back into the cinema where for the last few years, people really haven't been going back. So yeah, it's exciting times for sure.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. And I think that's another thing as well. It's just like that you got all these big franchises. We both love the Marvels and the DCs. You might love DC a little bit more, but
Possibly.
it's very much a case of it's always been those two tentpoles for the last like 5 years, I'd say, that have been really dominated that kind of summer marketplace. Whereas now, like you say, it's kind of going back to the days of old where there is a big kind of like
Yeah.
film that comes out, or a couple of big films that come out around it as well, to kind of freshen up the market in that respect.
And that's it. Don't get me wrong. Clearly, I love superhero movies, but we are being spoiled in the sense that we get so many so often. And it's like, oh, what's coming out next?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm still going to enjoy them, but
yep.
with my books, like with my films, I want diversity. I want to be told different stories, which is why I feel that this reading adventure that I've been on has helped me do that, because I've read horrors, I've read romances, I've read autobiographies now as well, and it's learning to read somebody else's story and absorb as much information as you can, where as a film, you still get that, but it's not necessarily easier, but you're put more at ease because you don't know how it's going to be told. So I like that. So
yeah, definitely.
More different films is what I'm all about. Yeah. Like, you know, variety is the spice of life and all that 100%. Jazz. So we've talked about good movies and we talked about good books. Talk to me, Aaron, about some of the films that you just really, really don't like.
Yeah, so there's not many. I've tried to stay Mr. Positive throughout the majority of the time. Whenever I watch films and stuff like that, I do generally try to see the best in films, good. Even if they're not as good as possible. But there are a few films, and I do have a little list. I'm just grabbing the list.
Oh, well done. Good man. You were prepared.
I did not like. And it's very small, okay? There's only really four on there that I'll talk about.
Okay.
One is that Monster Hunter film that came out last 2 years ago.
Yeah, okay.
Not great. The Dungeons and Dragons film from the year 2000, if you remember that one. Yeah, can't watch it. And the film Elektra as well. Obviously, you know, the spin-off from the Ben Affleck Daredevil film. Those films really, whenever I see them, I'm like, I really find it hard to find positives within them. And those three are definitely the three that kind of stand out massively to me.
I can remember Elektra getting many bad, and it wasn't necessarily people just going online to just bash it.
Yeah,
it was bad.
Yeah, I watched it recently. So I've been trying to do like the MCU before the MCU, like looking at all these old Marvel films prior to the you know, the studio films in that respect. But Elektra is hard, and I give Daredevil 5 out of 5 every time. I love that Affleck
as a comic story. Of a comic being brought to life, it has it all.
It does.
And at the time, you know, Colin Farrell was the bad boy of Hollywood.
Yes.
He was fantastic in that film.
Bullseye. Yeah.
I think he's in the plane and he flicks a peanut at the back of the guy's throat. Clearly he's the villain of this story. Now I'm invested. But yeah, the MCU movies of years gone by have been very different. I can remember The Punisher from back then. That was amazing.
Yeah, Thomas Jane one I always love. And obviously, unfortunately, Ray Stevens has obviously just passed. Yes. You know, that one was also really good as well.
But I hope I'm not incorrect in saying this. David Hasselhoff is Nick Fury. Am I right?
Yes.
In that?
Yeah. In that like TV movie, wasn't it? Like the fabled Fantastic Four film that was never released.
Yeah. Good. As long as that wasn't a fever dream.
No, you're not.
That did in fact happen. I'm happy. But things change over the years, and people find their ways of telling a story, and companies find a way of retelling older stories, but in a new way.
Yeah.
Which is why I think Marvel and DC combined are trying new things. They're trying different ways of storytelling. With Marvel, for many years, they had the standard ways of doing stuff. And they had that pretty much 15 to 20 year plan of where they wanted to end up, and they did it.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was no easy feat. And now this whole situation with James Gunn going from Marvel, being fired, being brought back, going to DC, it's an interesting concept for the future of superhero movies, which are always going to be controversial and fun. Yeah. But enjoyable. So what are your thoughts on the James Gunn coming over to DC?
I think it's probably one of the better moves that have been made recently. I feel Marvel, you know, especially, you know, you've spoken about it on your podcast as well, but Guardians 3 was incredible. And I think that just shows how well James can do with storytelling, not from a not even from any other aspect. I think from a storytelling perspective, he's been able to craft us to care about a CGI raccoon over 3/5 films because of the Avengers films. You know, he's done so well with that. And that really excites me to see what he will do with, you know, with Superman and with all the other characters as well.
He likes to mention and name drop. We've seen this with the Peacemaker show, some very niche characters and villains. Stuff, yeah. So it ends. That gives me hope for the future. Something else that gives me hope is the fact that we've had all these Marvel and DC films. Sometimes the excitement and the build-up is a big part of it, including the trailers. You would get a countdown for when a trailer is released. Mm. And over the past few years now, I'm not sure if James Gunn has had any influence in this, but at the end of these trailers now, we are getting recommended reading, which I bloody love.
I think that's one of the best things DC have done recently is give that recommended reading list. Especially, I mean, you did it. I did exactly the same thing. The Blue Beetle stuff. I love Blue Beetle. I mean, Young Titans and Injustice, that's basically my only exposure to him. So let me go read a bit more.
And
about
I've been reading it. I've been enjoying it. I can remember Blue Beetle many years ago appearing in Smallville.
Yeah, of course. They're very
and you just strange. Think, oh, who's this character? Yeah. Let me find out more. But with this now, people aren't just thinking, oh, it's just another superhero film. Mm-hmm. And when they released the Blue Beetle stuff and the recommended reading for Superman and DC, including Tom King's Supergirl, they sold out everywhere. Yeah. Like, it was impossible to get copies because people are reading comics again, which, you know, I always had this thought that if a superhero film is going to be playing in a cinema, in a branded cinema, you know, a chain, throw some comics in the lobby. Just have a few graphic novels. Yeah. And if you like that, you might like this. And if you like this one, wait till next year when this film comes out.
Yeah.
It's a good turning point, I feel, for DC Comics and Marvel, because Marvel have always got something else up their sleeve. Now they're in a Mickey Mouse's back pocket. There's always something planned down the line. But yeah, he's a fantastic storyteller. Yeah. And as you said, how he can make you be so emotionally attached to not only Rocket, but to a character like Groot.
Yeah.
Just all, again, Vin Diesel's back on the scene. You wouldn't put him in Macbeth, but hang on. Three words he gets. Three words. But he still does so much with it. And I was talking about this recently on another episode, and James Gunn recently confirmed it. There is that, spoiler alert, if you've not watched the film, go and watch it and then come back. There's that moment at the end of Guardians 3 when Groot says, I love you guys.
Yeah.
And I was like, and then sort of look more into it. And I was like, well, why did he say that? Mm. And nobody really cared. And then I was like, hang on. It's not for those people on the screen. It's for the people in the audience.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're now guardians in a way. Yeah. And we can understand what Groot is saying. It was like the easiest translation you could ever get. It was, you know, it was wow. And it was something as simple as that. But when you look closer into it, it was a fantastic piece of that, finishing that story in that universe, I feel.
And I think that's what excites me the most, especially for his Superman film. I feel like we will get finally, like, you know, something like a Brainiac or something. That just screams James Gunn, doesn't it? Brainiac just screams James Gunn. Even like something like Krypto as well. Like having that as a live action thing will be incredible to see. And I feel like he'll be able to find that balance between the comic-y kind of side of stuff, but also the realism side of things as well at the same time.
I mean, yeah, we had his version of the Suicide Squad, which was gritty, it was violent, it was lots of swears. We had Peacemaker, we had all of that as well. And people thought, well, is this what he's bringing forward to the future? And it's like, no, these are just two very different characters.
Exactly.
Very different to the Guardians as well. They're different. They're different. Well, they're told differently for one, and they're written differently. But in all of his interviews recently where he's mentioned DC Comics and he's mentioned Superman and he's mentioned his intentions, but also his respect for the, you know, the mythology of it all, has only left me feeling very excited. And yes, of course, I'm hurt with all the situations with Henry Cavill.
Yeah, of course.
But I'm distancing myself from that because you have to, because it wasn't James Gunn's intention to do that.
Yeah.
And one of my most popular, one of my most interactive posts recently was that I shared a small clip of a James Gunn interview where he was talking about Superman and Christopher Reeve.
Oh, yes,
And
I've seen that.
I had to mute that one. I mean, I love interacting with all comments, but this one was difficult too, because right now, let's have a look. So there it is. It's playing in the background. It's got over pretty much nearly 700 comments.
Wow.
And at one point, I couldn't keep up because people were having conversations, heated debates between each other. Some of the insults have been fantastic that I've read in there, but most some of the comments have been positive, which is what I like to see. And yes, mainly because he's talking about Christopher Reeve a fair bit, and we know it's from a different era, it's a different actor, it's a different Superman in a way, but he's talking about keeping on to some of those elements and adding something new. And yeah, and as you said, he mentioned crypto once, and I was like, okay, now I'm in. I'm hooked now. Combine that with Brainiac and anything else, then yes, it's an interesting time, as always, to be a DC Comics fan.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
So that's something that's coming out in the future. What other films are out there soon or being talked about that you would love to see?
I think, my mind's gone blank, Luke. Going forward, I think what the main kind of thing I'm kind of drawn to at the moment is definitely, Guy Ritchie's new film. That'd be good. Tarantino's next film as well sounds very interesting. Yeah. And I think the biggest film this year, I'm desperate to see, is that Killers of the Flower Moon. So Scorsese's next film, which has been getting absolutely incredible reviews from Cannes. So it'd be interesting to see how that plays out. And you know, I was listening to an interview the other day, and it was all about how Scorsese's, you know, he's getting on in years and all this kind of stuff, and how many more films will he be able to make and how many more things he'll be able to do. But and that's just it's a really weird thing to think about. And it's the same thing with Tarantino. Like, Tarantino's like, well, this is going to be my last one, and I can't imagine. It's weird to think of a cinema scape without like a Scorsese, Tarantino, without like a Spielberg, without all of these guys, all these heavy hitters that have been around since, you know, donkey's years now, you know, making film up, you know, decades and decades, every decade being able to constantly be able to make content for a new audience. You know, who's going to be that? You know, when I, you know, 40 years time, you know, 30 years time, when I've got kids or something, that, you know, when if I have kids and they grow up, and who will be the elites then? You know, will it be a Nolan? Will it be like I don't know? It's just a weird kind of concept to think about, that these filmmakers are, they're getting on in years, and some are stepping down from making films, and it's interesting to see in that respect.
It will be a shame, because I do love what Scorsese does, and again, they're often very long films, but they're a film that you can just dive into and be taken away with. What was it? The Irishman? That was the Netflix special.
Yeah, yeah. Netflix,
I've been watching that again. It's a long film, been enjoying it. But I always seem to compare it to Goodfellas, and I shouldn't, because that's like the classic. It is.
Goodfellas is like your top tier. Like,
it's the top tier gangster film. I love a gangster flick, which is probably why I enjoy Guy Ritchie's London take on that. But Goodfellas is fantastic. But to see all those guys come back for this. For the Irishman, and to be in that special film, it was an interesting take on it. But yeah, that I saw the trailer for that one recently, for the new one that's coming out, and Leonardo, you know, he always, you know, he sinks his teeth in, bless him, he doesn't stop. And I've been one of those films that I can't sleep at night if I'm reading one of your scary books that you've made me read. I'll chuck on Netflix, or I'll throw on a film. And I've been watching The Revenant at night recently.
Oh, okay,
Again, a film, not much talking, many, many visuals in that film, some scary visuals, but it's, again, it's as we talked about before, it's variety, it's everything that you can get. But Scorsese, as you said, just an intense storyteller. And as long as he wants to keep on creating films, just throw all the money at him.
Exactly.
Because as you said, one day these people aren't going to want to make films, but more importantly, they're not going to be here to make them. So that's the important part of it. So
I think from a different angle to that. Like the other film that I'm quite interested in this year is that The Creator. Did you see the trailer for The
I
Creator?
did, yeah.
That looks fantastic. That we need more sci-fi like that, original concept sci-fi.
It's, I mean, I love anything that keeps you guessing
Yeah.
and that you don't see things coming that way and just blows your mind when it does happen, sort of thing. And so yeah, for that one, it's gonna be one of those films where I would probably go and see that solo because I want to focus on every little bit of it. I don't want to be, I'm easily distracted. If I see something shiny, I'm like a newborn puppy or a magpie, I'm just gone. So to be able to turn off a phone, not have people by the side of me talking too much, and I can just focus and get lost in the story, for that one, it's gonna be one of those moments. And I think that's probably why I'm not good in horror films. Because if I'm latched on and there's a jump scare, I'm like, I'm gone. I'm very expressive when it comes to film, so I'm jumping out the seat, I'm throwing popcorn up in the air, Aaron. It's all kicking off, so it's going to be fun. But I think in the future we're going to have to come back on the podcast or me on yours to talk more about movies because we always get lost in the conversation.
We do, yeah. We
But
did this on
that's
my one as well. We kind of just waffled for
it
a while.
happens, and that's what I love about the podcast and everything else is the sense that you start talking about what makes you passionate and you talk about more things, and we have to come back to it and talk more movies. So I think especially after Oppenheimer, when that comes
Yes.
out, we can have an Oppenheimer slash Barbie special
I would
where we talk
love to
about
do
both
that,
films. That's good, man. That's good. Aaron, where can people find you online, sir?
Yeah, so you can find me everywhere at Aaron J Watches is the handle. So that's Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. There is a Facebook, but I don't ever use it. I also have a website, which is aaronjwatches.com. So please do just check it out.
Superb. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for your time today, buddy. All right. It's been
Thank
an
you for having me,
absolute
Luke.
pleasure. Now, have you got any questions for me before we wrap up?
Oh, I did have one,
Okay.
which was okay. Sticking on the theme of films, if you could be in any film universe, which one would it be? And it can't be Superman.
Oh,
Can't be
that's a
Superman.
bugger. Now, oh, if I could sort of, well, put it this way, one film I would go into that one to be in that universe would be Last Action Hero.
Oh, what an amazing film choice.
Because
Great.
essentially, I with that ticket,
Yeah.
I could go into any
It's very
film
true.
universe. So again, for the people that haven't seen Last Action Hero, hopefully there's very few of you because that film, growing up as a kid for me, was
So good.
just everything that I needed in life.
Very good.
It was action. There was Schwarzenegger. There were jokes that I didn't get and jokes that I did. There was a classic British villain, because of course, because it's a
Of
Hollywood
course, yeah.
movie. But yeah, I think for me, if not especially that era of late 80s to mid late 90s of action
Yeah.
flicks, when they were either political thrillers or people running away from other people, because of those films like Last Action Hero. And your commandos and absolute stinkers like Suburban Commando and the Hulk Hogan film where he was a nanny,
Oh,
stuff like that. And
yeah.
but because we got all those films in such a fast succession, we then went on and we got films like Mission Impossible that got more budget with bigger names and a bigger talent behind it. And that's one of my biggest things over the years is, you know, it's always respect the past, but embrace the future. Because if we didn't have all those, some of those stinkers, we wouldn't have the good stuff that we have today. But yeah, if I was, that's a very good question. But yeah, definitely say Last Action Hero or the
Yeah.
mid-90s action when it was completely just off the charts, crazy. But for every one of those big films, you did have that trailer guy that was like, this summer.
Yeah.
That's when you knew you're going to get a good film. And from that, yeah. Oh, good question, Aaron. Love that. Love that. Good man. So yeah, everyone, go follow Aaron. He's going to be back on the show pretty soon. We've got a lot more to talk about. And yeah, when these films come out, when Oppenheimer comes out, and when Barbie comes out, and yes, the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. I'm going to read the book because your recommendations are always spot on, sir. I'm going to read that one before the film comes out, and then hopefully by then, this beard and moustache would be a lot more bushy. I'm going to go out and find a lot of tweed because I've seen that in the behind the scenes photographs. Yeah, sure. Possibly not the outfit that I've seen in Henry Cavill because I think he was dressed up as a Nazi at one point.
Yeah, I feel like the hat may get a few looks.
Yeah, I think I'll give that one a miss, Aaron. But yes, thank you for joining me, sir. Everyone, go and follow Aaron. All the links are down below. Take care, sir, and we'll speak soon.
Cheers, Luke. Thank you, mate.
No worries.
And that was episode 8. As we mentioned in this chat, I went to see Batman, the Batman, in concert with Aaron, and we had a fantastic car ride where we just talked non-stop about books and movies, and I just knew Aaron would be a perfect guest, and he was, and I can't wait to speak with him more in the future about Oppenheimer, about Barbie, about Hercules. I'm ready to have Henry Cavill as Hercules, singing and dancing. Oh. Now, the next episode of the Podcast of Steel, episode number 9, will be my Flash review. I will have seen the movie, and I would have seen the movie in its entirety before, back in April. I was very lucky to see an early screening, but it wasn't the thinnest version, so it was unreviewable in a way. I still thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to seeing it again. There are many scenes that I'm looking forward to seeing again. So this, well, yes, in a few days' time, I will be seeing the Flash movie, and I'm really excited. So that will be on my review on the next episode of the Podcast of Steel. And this week, I will be going on a few adventures that I will inform you about when I can, but I'm really, really smiling right now. I'm happy. Right now, I've just a few hours ago finished work. I've got a vacation. I've got a week off from work, and I'm going to do some relaxing, and some adventures will be happening as well, including some Flash things that I'm very excited for. So, thank you, Aaron, for being a marvellous guest. All the links for Aaron's social medias are in the title of this episode. I will be back soon for a brand new episode. I have been Luke Bug, the Geek of Steel. And thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Thanks for sending me emails and questions and comments. It pushes me forward. I thoroughly enjoy all the positive feedback, but also the positive criticisms as well. I want to make this podcast the best it could possibly be, and I am constantly learning new ways to do that. So, everybody, thank you for listening. I've been Luke Bug, the Geek of Steel. You can find me everywhere. Just search for Luke Bug, the Geek of Steel. Stay safe, stay super, and I'll be back soon with a brand new episode of the Podcast of Steel.